We'll see if you applaud at the end. Oh, beloved, it's so good to be with you. Thank you for loving me and my family for all this time. You are beautiful. The scripture tells you that as the body of Christ, you are chosen, you are holy, you are dearly loved. And that's the context, that's the reality of our identity in Jesus for the message today. We've been in a series, as I understand, here at First Press on being available to God, availability to God, not only in relationship with Him, but in dependence upon Him as in His call in the kingdom. And so we are in a passage today from 2 Chronicles 18. It's also in 1 Kings 22. But in 2 Chronicles 18, that is our passage today. And there is some funky stuff in this story. We're not going to be able to get to it all. But I want to preface it by saying this. Taking God at His word is central to what it means to be available to Him. Taking God at His word, isn't that what it goes back to all the way to the garden? Taking God at His word or not. And the deceiver is wanting to spin what God says so that we will not take Him at His word. And when we look at Jesus and what He says some words that are very hard to swallow. He says some things that left to our own devices, our own strength, we won't be able to follow unless He empowers us. And so this Old Testament story is as true then as it is today. And it foreshadows the reality of who Jesus is and what He has done as the true prophet. And so I'm going to read the whole story from 2 Chronicles 18. And this is about Micaiah. This is about Ahab, Jehoshaphat, and Zedekiah. Test will be at the end. Now Jehoshaphat had great wealth and honor, and he allied himself with Ahab by marriage. Some years later, he went down to see Ahab in Samaria. Ahab slaughtered many sheep and cattle for him and the people with him and urged him to attack Ramoth-Gilead. Ahab, king of Israel, asked Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Will you go with me against Ramoth-Gilead?" Jehoshaphat replied, "I am as you are and my people as your people. We will join you in the war." Verse 4, but Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, "First seek the counsel of the Lord." So the king of Israel brought together the prophets, 400 men, and asked them, "Shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead or shall I not?" "Go," they answered, "for God will give it into the king's hand." But Jehoshaphat asked, "Is there no longer a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of?" The king of Israel, Ahab, answered Jehoshaphat, "There is still one prophet through whom we can inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me, but always bad. His name is Micaiah, son of Imlah." "The king should not say such a thing," Jehoshaphat replied. So the king of Israel, Ahab, called one of his officials and said, "Bring Micaiah, son of Imlah, at once." Dressed in their royal robes, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones at the threshing floor by the entrance of the gate of Samaria, with all of the prophets prophesying before them. Now Zedekiah, son of Kenaz, had made iron horns, and he declared, "This is what the Lord says, with these you will gore the Arameans until they are destroyed." All the other prophets were prophesying the same thing. "Attack Ramoth-Gilead and be victorious," they said, "for the Lord will give it into the king's hand." The messenger who had gone to summon Micaiah said to him, "Look, the other prophets, without exception, are predicting success for the king. Let your word agree with theirs and speak favorably." But Micaiah said, "As surely as the Lord lives, I can tell him only what my God says." When he arrived, the king, Ahab, asked him, "Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead or shall I not?" "Attack and be victorious," he answered, "for they will be given into your hand." The king said to him, "How many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the truth that's in the name of the Lord?" Then Micaiah answered, I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, these people have no master. Let each one go home in peace. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you that he never prophesies anything good about me, but only bad? Micaiah continued, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the multitudes of heaven, standing on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, who will entice Ahab, king of Israel, into attacking Ramoth-Gilead and going to his death there? One suggested this and another that. Finally, a spirit came forward, stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. By what means? The Lord asked. I will go and be a deceiving spirit in the mouths of all of his prophets, he said. You will succeed in enticing him, said the Lord. Go and do it. So now, the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouths of these prophets of yours. The Lord has decreed disaster for you. Then Zedekiah, son of Kenah, went up and slapped Micaiah in the face. Which way did the spirit from the Lord go when he went from me to speak to you? He asked. Micaiah replied, you will find out the day you go to hide in an inner room. The king of Israel then ordered, take Micaiah and send him back to Amon, the ruler of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, this is what the king says. Put this fellow in prison and give him nothing but bread and water until I return safely. Micaiah declared, if you ever return safely, the Lord has not spoken through me. Then he added, mark my words, all of you people. That's not the end of the story. We're going to finish the story. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will enter the battle in disguise, but you will wear your royal robes. Oh, such a deal. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Now the king of Aram had ordered his chariot commanders, do not fight with anyone, small or great, except the king of Israel. When the chariot commanders saw Jehoshaphat, they thought, this is the king of Israel. So they turned to attack him, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. God drew them away from him, for when the chariot commanders saw that he was not the king of Israel, they stopped pursuing him. But someone drew his bow and at random hit the king of Israel between the breastplate and the scale armor. The king told the chariot driver, wheel around and get me out of the fighting. I've been wounded. All day long, the battle raged, and the king of Israel propped himself up in the chariot facing the Arameans until evening, and then at sunset, he died. The word of the Lord. What a crazy story. Do you hear the juxtaposition between Jehoshaphat and Ahab? Do you hear the juxtaposition between Zedekiah and Micaiah? Basically, you have men, people, who are either listening to the voice of God or those who are not. Those who are heeding the voice of God and those who are not. And Ahab is not interested in hearing the voice of God. He's interested in hearing the voice of his prophets who tell him what he wants to hear. Now, we're not totally sure why Jehoshaphat is in cahoots at first with Ahab. We know that there's been intermarriage and there's this connection now with that. He goes down to see Ahab, but Ahab is the one that approaches him and says, let's go to battle. And at first, Jehoshaphat says, yes, let's do it. But verse 4, let's see what the Lord has to say first. And then after listening to these babbling 400 prophets telling Ahab everything he wants to hear, Jehoshaphat has the wherewithal to say, is there someone who's authentically speaking for the Lord on your midst? In which Ahab says, yes, actually, there's this guy, his name Micaiah, I hate his guts because he never has anything good to say. In fact, he's been in prison for 3 years because he told me something that I was supposed to do that I didn't do, and I don't like what he has to say, so he's in prison right now, let me go get him. Can you imagine what Micaiah was doing in prison? Do you think he was wallowing in self-pity? No. Do you think that he was just, woe is me? Do you think he was just playing solitaire? No, we know that he was reflecting on Scripture, speaking with the Lord, listening to God, praying, praising. It reminds us of Paul in prison. He was being honed as a prophet to continue to listen to the voice of God. And so they pull him out of prison and he comes and Ahab does what he always does and says, all right, what does the Lord really have to say? And do you hear the sarcasm in the story? Go do it. You'll have success. Na, 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 na. And Ahab, the one who doesn't want to hear what he has to say, says to him, tell me the truth. How many times do I have to plead with you to tell me the truth? Can you hear the history in the relationship he must have had with Micaiah in all of these years where he knows, yes, I know that you really do speak for the Lord, even though I don't want to hear it. Come on, come straight with me. And then Micaiah says, you know what? You're a lousy leader. The people of God are a sheep without a shepherd. Do you hear the ripple effect into when Jesus says, they're like sheep without a shepherd. And I'm the good shepherd. And I am committed to doing and saying and seeing and responding to whatever the Father says. Whatever the Father says, I'm going to say. Whatever the Father does, I'm going to do. This is Micaiah. On the one hand, what does he have to lose? He's going to go back to prison. In fact, in the story, it says, just feed him bread and water. That's the closest thing to solitary confinement, the worst situation you could possibly be in prison, under a kingship, in a kingdom. He's going to go and be in prison. His life's not getting any better. He doesn't seem to care. And then there's Zedekiah, right? He's the head of all of these prophets. And he's made these horns, and it's related to another Old Testament scripture that talks about how God is going to come in vengeance. And so here we got these horns, and now you're going to go, and you're going to be able to do what you want to do. And Micaiah confronts him, and Zedekiah hits him. And we don't see Micaiah freaking out about that. We just see him continuing to tell the truth. See, he's a truth teller. He's a truth teller because he's free, because he's already recognized that he is completely available to God for however and whatever God wants to say or do through him. In fact, in this story, he really is the freest man in the whole story. Completely freed up to speak truth, to be an agent of God in the lives of these men who have so much power. One who is completely pagan, the other who's seeking to figure out what it means to listen to God. So a side note that I want to say for you in your life, in my life, something that if you're a note taker, you might want to write down because it's really kind of a deep phrase. But I want to tell you this because we experience it every day. The category for sin in Scripture is idolatry. What's idolatry? Trying to find life in anything but God. And as religious folks, we try to find life in good things apart from God. It's not like, you know, we're trying to find it in bad things. But anytime we try to seek life in something apart from God, that's idolatry. Our heart is not set upon Him, but on that other thing. So here's the thing I would want to say. Shame is the foolishness we feel when the powerlessness of our idols is revealed. I'll say that again. Shame is the foolishness we feel when the powerlessness of our idols is revealed to us. And what happens when the powerlessness of our idols is revealed to us and we feel shame? We get contemptuous. We want to make somebody pay. That's exactly what Zedekiah did. Micaiah called his bluff, exposed the reality of Zedekiah's idolatry. And so what did Zedekiah do? Repent? No. He lashed out in contempt towards the truth teller. Again, do you hear the ripple effect to our Savior? The one who literally made himself available to us by becoming a man, a servant unto all, made the decision in the mystery of the Trinity, made the decision in the Garden of Gethsemane to say, not my will, but yours be done. And then went to a Roman torture implement and gave his life for the sake of the world. There is no one and no story that preaches and communicates availability more than that. And so what we see here in this Old Testament kind of crazy story between two kings and battling in power and two prophets battling in power and 400 other ones who are just, you know, on the bandwagon is, are the people of God going to take the word of God seriously to the point where we are going to trust him at his word? We have an enemy that wants to do everything he possibly can to twist what God says so that we will not listen to him, but we will listen to ourselves or any other voice that wants to give us what we want to hear. And so this story for us is a warning. This story for us is an invitation. we have the opportunity in our availability to Jesus Christ to be truth tellers where we are. Now, please recognize Micaiah did not come out, you know, in his chariot with all this power and come in and say, "You better listen to me." He was summoned out of prison. And I can almost imagine he's going, "Well, here we go again." I can almost imagine that God informed him while he was in prison what the conversation was already going to be about. There's a fun story about availability and speaking truth that I want to tell you. There's a famous actor out there named Alec Baldwin. I don't know much about him, but he has a brother named Stephen. And Stephen Baldwin is an actor and has a lot of money or what have you. And he and his wife were living somewhere in the Southwest U.S. and they wanted to get a housekeeper. Now, I don't know why, but for some reason they were advertising in the country of Brazil. And this church got wind of this. And a woman saw the ad, a Brazilian woman, and she said, "I am called to be their housekeeper for the sake of winning this couple to Christ." So the church literally brought her in, commissioned her, and sent her as a housekeeper for the Baldwin family to win them for Christ. And so she gets to the house, and she's just whistling hymns, and she's praying, and she's praising. And Stephen's wife is like, "Will you knock it off? What are you doing? You're our housekeeper." And this woman, right? I don't know. Call it cultural difference. She says, "Oh, no. You think I'm your housekeeper? No. I'm a believer in Jesus, and I've come here to share the gospel with you, and you're going to become a Christian, and your husband's going to become a Christian, and you're going to have an incredible ministry." And Stephen's wife said, "Oh, really?" And so she went to her husband, Stephen, and said, "This is what she said." And he said, "Oh, really?" And this woman led this couple to Christ, went back to Brazil, job done. And the Baldwins have this incredible ministry to those in Hollywood, to skaters, right? To all these. It's amazing. Look it up. There's a website called I Am Second. IamSecond.com has all these wonderful testimonies. Talk about availability. But talk about someone so free who doesn't have to say, "Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm going to be a little covert about it." She just told him straight up. I mean, it was so over the top, right? Isn't it fun to be available to God? Isn't it fun? Scary, but isn't it fun? Now, it's not always fun. Sometimes it means prison, literally or figuratively. For many in the world, to speak about Christ can mean prison. It can mean ostracization. It can mean isolation. It can mean rejection. It can mean a whole host of things. But Jesus said in the Beatitudes, "Listen, if you are persecuted, if you are persecuted for my name, yours is the kingdom of God." He said, "Listen, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you." So where do we go from here? Well, we could lift up Jehoshaphat, we could lift up Micaiah and say, "Well, just work harder, be like them." Good luck with that. It's not how it works. That's not how it works for me. What I find is that if I am not in conversational relationship with God in a regular way, in a beaten pace way, in a consistent way, if I'm not in tune with His Spirit, and if I am not steeped in the Word, and if I'm not reflecting and relating with and to Him, then when I get into a situation like Micaiah's in, I freeze or I fold. But it's as we keep company with Jesus that His life bears fruit in ours, right? He says in John 15 very, very clearly, "Listen, you can do nothing apart from me." And nothing, the Greek there really means nothing, like nothing, nada. You can do nothing apart from me. Thank you, Jesus. That's a harsh thing to say. I certainly bring something to the table. He says, "You do not." You bring, only thing you bring to your table, to the table, is your need for life in me. So stay connected to the vine, and as you stay connected to the vine, the fruit will come. The fruit will come. You don't make the fruit happen. I make the fruit happen. You stay connected with me. So here's the exhortation today. Stay connected to Jesus. What have you put off in your life that you long to do in your relationship with Christ? What are you too busy for? What are you too overwhelmed by? what is a spiritual discipline, or how is Jesus calling himself to you? And I would ask you, I would, and to myself, will you just say, nope, I am going to say a holy heck no to that, and I am going to start pursuing Jesus in this way. Let nothing get in the way of you keeping company with Jesus. Because as you keep company with him, he's going to speak to you. And as he speaks to you, he's going to empower you to be a truth teller. And as he empowers you to be a truth teller, he's going to show you ways that he's available to you and that you can be available for him. Listen, he is available to us. May we avail ourselves of him. That's all he's calling us to do. Avail yourself of me, and I will live my life through you. We get to partner with Jesus in that. Will there be persecution? Undoubtedly, there will be. There will be. More and more there will be. Okay. Can we look at Micaiah? Do you see how non-reactive he was? He just kept it real. And may we be a people like that as we tether ourselves to Jesus. May we be a people who are truth tellers, who are available everywhere we are. Please don't hear me saying, just, you know, go out there and just blast the spiritual machine gun on people. I'm not saying that. Sometimes being a truth teller is listening for a long time first. Okay? This isn't a prescription for, you know, now I'm going to be a Micaiah and just go tell everybody everything they're doing wrong. We tell people the truth as the Lord leads us to how we're to tell the truth. But don't shy away. He is living his life through you everywhere you are, all of the time. May we be a people who literally make ourselves available to Jesus as we avail ourselves of him to the one who made himself ultimately available to us through the death and resurrection. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, I cannot thank you enough that you have literally made yourself available to the point of death. I thank you for how in Hebrews 12 it tells us that even though we have not resisted sin to the point of shedding our own blood, you have. And as we fix our eyes upon you, Jesus, may your life be infused in us. Lord, we want to be available to you. Again, help us, empower us to avail ourselves of you, with you. May your life flow into us and through us as we say no to good things, like Mary at your feet saying yes to the most important thing, listening to you, reflecting upon your word, allowing you to speak the truth of our identity in you, the truth of your love for us, the truth of your power, resurrection power to bring wholeness and shalom in the kingdom of God everywhere on this planet. And so, Lord, we thank you that you have called us as your adopted children to be ambassadors for you. We lift you up. And we're so grateful. We're so grateful that you are the true Micaiah. The one who not only was in prison, but literally in the mystery of all that you did, experienced judgment on our behalf. We just pray, Jesus, that we would be like you. We thank you that, Jesus, that you told your disciples that that you needed to leave so that the Holy Spirit could indwell us. Thank you that you made yourself available even in your leaving by sending the Holy Spirit. And so we lift you up. We praise you. We thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this story. And we thank you for how you're writing your story in us as we make ourselves available to you. It's for your name's sake we pray. Amen.
Join me right here, brother.
Oh, yeah.
Many of you were in the education hour and heard Greg share about the ministry.
Benedictus, right, means saying good things. So receive these good sayings. May the Lord, who is able to do more than you can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within you, bring to completion everything that he has in store for you and the world through you. May you avail yourself of him so that you will be available to him in a world that oh so deeply needs him. Amen.
Amen. Amen.